This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Friday, March the 30th. We have lots of news to review with two guests from different political viewpoints, and we will welcome your input too. But before we get to The Week in Review, we need to review our spring membership drive, and joining me with more on that is Bill Martins. Bill, this is the last day of the membership drive.
It's the last day. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're getting down to the wire here, and this is going to be a big hour, I think. News is very important to our listeners, news and politics, especially on the state level. We'll also talk about some national politics as well. So we have a goal this hour of 70 pledges by 9 o'clock. 70 pledges we are looking for this next hour, and you can help us reach that goal by making your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
70 pledges for The Week in Review on this, the last day of the spring membership drive, your last opportunity. If this is a regular feature of your week, that you wait for The Week in Review, you enjoy listening to The Week in Review, and you've been saying, I'm going to pledge to public radio. They keep on asking me, I'll do it tomorrow. This is it. This is the last day. This is the last Week in Review of this spring membership drive. So if you're not a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, or if it's been a while, please make that pledge now. Help us reach this goal and help pay for the programs. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like to call this Procrastination Day because mm-hmm. all those folks who, you know, say, put it off tomorrow, this is the day when you actually have to take action and make that pledge. And you can pledge any amount. Any amount is going to be greatly appreciated to help ensure that we'll have the funding to pay for the programs that you rely on here on Wisconsin Public Radio. So make that pledge right now, why don't you? WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a wonderful stable of guests. I don't know if that's the right. We have a number of regular guests who join us from week to week on The Week in Review, and it's always fun to different pairings sometimes work better than others, and mm-hmm. we try out new guests here and there. We have a couple of great guests coming up. Kevin Hermaning, who is, and Christine Bremer-Moogley are both from the Central Wisconsin or the Wausau area. So we have them both on with us today, one coming from the right, one coming from the left.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it's a great pairing. We've had them together before, and they play nicely. I suspect they will do the same this hour, and especially with so much going on in state politics. And I know you're going to ask them about the Senate race up there with Pam Galloway resigning. That opens up a seat there. I'm mm-hmm. sure they'll have some opinions on that, and it'll be interesting to hear what they have to say about that. So if that's the kind of programming that you really enjoy here on WPR, make that pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, and they were both very kind. I want to thank them for trying to find a little incentive for you to become a supporter of Wisconsin Public Radio. Kevin and Christine put their heads together and tried to come up with a nice plan to have you come visit them in Wausau. But
a bipartisan plan.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. But it just too late. We thought that, well, maybe we'll do that next time if they'll agree to do that. But it just shows how they both care too about Wisconsin Public Radio. So I want to thank them for trying to get you to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You go pledge online or call that number, and you decide how much to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. It's completely up to you, but just know that 40% of our budget comes from listener support. So we do need to hear from you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, just to recap, we're looking at 70 pledges for the next hour. And you can make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help us meet that goal.
All right. Thanks very much, Bill. We'll talk to you later. Let me welcome in our guests. Kevin Hermaning, political activist, former chair of the Marathon County Republican Party. Kevin is joining us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and thank you.
Yeah, and also with us is Christine Bremer-Moogley, attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau, a delegate to the 2008 Democratic National Convention. And she is joining us from our studios in Wausau. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Kevin, I wanted you here in the studio with me, ready to box.
Yeah, well, get out the longer arms, I guess.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. And again, thanks to both of you for trying to come up with this little event for a lucky listener and during our pledge drive. Maybe we can do that next week or next time.
Joy, I think it would be a great time for people to come to visit our wonderful city in Wausau and experience our downtown. So next time we're on, Kevin and I, I'm sure if you bring us on during a pledge drive, I'm sure Kevin is game for it as well as I am.
Thank you
so much.
We'll get
it done. And the other way to give, of course, is to set it up on an automatic bank draft right onto either your debit card or from your checking account.
Spoken like a great financial planner. That is wonderful. That's right. We do have the sustaining member automatic withdrawals. And again, I'll give it one more time. WPR.org. Go online. You can check out all the thank you gifts that are available, too, online. You can also just call and say, I'd like to donate X to 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. All right, well, let's start reviewing the news of the week. Now, this is hot off the press. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey Center poll. We were in the field, or I should say the St. Norbert College Survey Center was in the field over this past week, just trying to take the pulse of Wisconsin voters for the Republican presidential primary coming up on Tuesday, April the 3rd. And let me get Kevin to react first. It looks like it says here, Mitt Romney, 37%, Rick Santorum, 23%, Ron Paul, 8%, Newt Gingrich, 4%, other 5%, undecided, 11%. So Mitt Romney, according to this poll, has the lead. Is that any surprise to you?
Well, I don't think it's any surprise. I'm curious who the others are.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's pretty remarkable to have 5% saying other at this stage of the race. The other day, somebody from the Wausau Daily Herald contacted me and asked if people in central Wisconsin should be a little bit put out, Republicans should be put out that the candidates themselves haven't traveled to central Wisconsin. And of course, at this stage of the race, Wisconsin's a fairly late state in the process. I guess really we're in the middle. But in this year's campaign, we're actually relevant for the first time in many, many years. I think the first time in my voting lifetime, Wisconsin voters will have a say in the outcome of the presidential nominee. And central Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, although I did see that Speaker Gingrich is traveling to Oshkosh and Green Bay today, the candidates need to train their fire, if you will, spend their resources in the most effective way. And with Romney having a commanding lead in Wisconsin, albeit nowhere near the 50% that his supporters would certainly like to see, and I think the establishment would definitely like to see, it's unlikely that any of the other candidates, even if the others pulled together, were going to be able to unseat him or to derail him.
Mm-hmm. And your thoughts on this, Christine?
Well, I'm getting out of town because Rick Santorum's coming to Wausau tonight.
Is he really?
Ah, yeah. I guess I did hear that. That's right.
Yeah, but I think that the most important thing to look at is we're looking at this polling number, and for Santorum, that doesn't look so good. But whenever he gets in front of a lot of people that are in the working force, he doesn't do well. He came from Pennsylvania, from a very union-centric, labor-centric district. And when he was thrown out for Senate, he lost 41% to 59%, 700,000 margin against him because the people of Pennsylvania didn't believe that he supported workers. So I don't think he's going to find a very happy people in Wisconsin that are going to look to Rick Santorum to be their candidate. But, of course, I'm not a GOPer, but I do look at the other polls, Joy, and one of the most important polls for me was Romney's popularity in Wisconsin as a whole, not just among the GOP, and his unfavorables are nearly 50%. So, if we look at Romney just among the GOP, yes, he's more popular than the others. But if we look at Romney in the state, his unfavorabilities are very, very high.
Mm-hmm. Kevin?
They're pretty comparable, actually, to the president's at this stage of the race. And as we move forward, we're going to see the the resources are going to be trained on the key battleground states, one of which right now is Wisconsin. Whoever the Republican nominee is, I think it's going to be a competitive race. Republicans do not believe that it's a shoo-in to defeat the president. Republicans know it's a long haul. It's an uphill slog, if you will. It's going to be expensive, and it's going to be nasty. And every day, literally, and Christine, I'm sure, and Joy, everybody who's listening, talks to people who say, I'm just going to turn off my TV till November. But the reality is that this is, you know, we watch what happened overseas last year, the Arab Spring, and we see all the nasty dictatorships going down and being overthrown with no good resolution at this stage, I would submit. But at least we don't do it with at the end of a bullet these days.
Yeah,
well, we hope not. Yeah. You know, I'd just like to say, Joy, there is a Washington Post poll that came out, and I think it's important that we recognize that in this election, because people are so divided, GOP versus the Democrats, that it's very unlikely either side will sway that much. I know Kevin won't be able to get me to come on his side, and I sure won't get him on mine. But those independents are what we look at. And in the independent group, 50% of independents polled have an unfavorable impression of Romney, and only 35% favorable. And I think that's the battleground, and that's where these people are really going to suffer, and President Obama does much better with independents.
Just wondering if with Newt Gingrich coming in fourth in this poll and many other polls in Wisconsin, Ron Paul coming in third, is this the end of the road for Newt Gingrich, do you think, Kevin?
Well, I don't. There are people on every side of this issue, and because there are more than two. But I think that Speaker Gingrich, like Senator Santorum, both appear to very much believe that their objective is not, although they wouldn't say it this way, to win the nomination. I think the math simply doesn't support either one's ability to do so. They really believe that, both of them believe that together being in the race, they can kind of divert the fire, if you will, from either one of them, Santorum being the leader at this stage of the two. And Romney has to contend with both candidates in the race. And I don't want to ignore Ron Paul's support, especially in Wisconsin. I mean, he had a great following last night. I received a photograph sent from a very good friend of mine, and they had a great enthusiastic crowd last night down in the Madison area. So I think it's really designed to lead to a brokered convention. I think it's designed, the plan is to, by these candidates anyway, is to deny Mitt Romney the likelihood of winning 1,144 delegates. I find it, during the nominating process. And I find it interesting that Utah, which is undoubtedly going to give, I'm guessing, all 40 of the delegate votes to Mitt Romney, is the last state to decide in late June.
Let me take a call from Taylor in Rushford, Minnesota. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, thanks for the show. I just wanted to mention, I was listening to the WPR news before the show, and they mentioned that the Ron Paul town hall meeting last night in Madison, or no, I think it was Madison, had only 2,500 people, and newspaper articles are saying there was 5,200. And, you know, I just wanted to note that, you know, the media can bend it whatever way they want. But coming from an independent view, I think that we as Americans got to quit turning a blind eye to reality and realize that Ron Paul can unite both Republican and Democrats, and he can bring them together and create something better than just a Republican agenda or a Democratic agenda. And I think that, you know, if you want to vote for Mitt Romney or Santorum or Gingrich or Obama, I can't see a bit of difference between them four.
Thank you, Taylor. So, Christine, can Ron Paul bring all sides together?
No, Ron Paul cannot bring all sides together. Ron Paul has a line that is fascinating for people to think of freedom being free from government, but when they actually sit down and look at his true policies and what he stands for, those of us that believe in government as an instrument of change and doing good certainly cannot support Ron Paul. I mean, Ron Paul doesn't believe in having a military. Ron Paul believes we should go back to the gold standard. Ron, if you look at what Ron Paul believes, I think most people would say, although he has a good line and he's a nice man and he comes across very well, get government out of the bedroom, most women would agree with that, and men too, you have to say, let's look at what he really stands for. And what he stands for is not anarchy, but he does not believe in government. And it's interesting that a man who makes his living in government doesn't believe in what it can do or the power of government. And I believe that, as a Democrat, I believe government is an instrument of change, an instrument to protect all so that all of us can come together and make society much better for everyone. So Ron Paul certainly doesn't appeal to the better angels in Democrats, and I don't believe that we should really talk about Ron Paul as a serious candidate. Those that like his line, you know, can follow him, but it is not a line that can govern.
Do you have anything you'd like to say about that, Kevin?
Well, I don't think it's practical to believe that Ron Paul has any opportunity at all to become president of the United States. I am starting to hear people out in the GOP ranks talk about Rand Paul as a possible VP nominee, but trying to predict VP stakes, if you will, at this stage of the campaign is a fool's game. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, well, both Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum, the two front runners, and the two front runners here in Wisconsin as well, were showing their support for Governor Walker in their various appearances, be it a telephone town hall or other appearances. And they were even trying to say who was tougher against unions. Mitt Romney was saying that Rick Santorum hasn't been tough enough against public employee unions or unions in the past. Christine, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that when Romney comes to our state and gets on a call, of course, he's not here. He was in Houston, Texas, when he made this call to thousands of supporters in Wisconsin. But when he gets on a call and he talks about a joke where his father, who was president of American Motors, lays off 4,300 auto workers and thinks that that's going to go over well with the people of Wisconsin, he's totally tone deaf to what the working people in Wisconsin really have been going through, especially when he even said to someone on the call, no, where's Janesville? I mean, he doesn't have any idea what's going on in our state right now. He isn't even here yet. He's coming in for a fish fry tonight. You know, I think that when we look at Romney going after Santorum for not being someone in favor of workers, I think that's kind of the pot calling the kettle black, if I can use that terrible cliche. But I think, you know, when we're talking about what's going on in Wisconsin, and we talk about both of them trying to take the lead on this topic and saying they are the ones that are harder on unions and they support Governor Walker and Santorum comes out and calling unions bullies when he is the one that is, you know, absolutely acting as a bully on his campaign and endorsing Walker, who most people and working people on the left believe that Walker has been the bully against unions and not allowing any negotiation, even though he promised that in the campaign for collective bargaining rights. I think it's really difficult to even listen to this topic.
Mm-hmm. Kevin.
Well, I think Christine needs to turn off MSNBC for a little
never,
while.
Never.
You know, when I listen to people talk about Mitt Romney's father or Mitt Romney heading up Bain Capital and having to lay people off, and we look at the capitalist system where there are sometimes winners and there sometimes are losers, and we all want there to be more winners more of the time, the fact of the matter is that some of these companies have survived in a different venue or a different genre, if you will, including in other parts of the United States and, yes, sometimes overseas, where they're making products that American consumers continue to purchase. it's all part of the give and take of the free enterprise system. And I think that the average worker is giving the benefit of the doubt to candidates of all political stripes who just want to get government out of the way when it comes to the regulatory burden, when it comes to the high tax burden that our country has. We're one of the highest taxed nations when it comes to corporate tax rates. The regulatory burden is shutting down companies, and I think this is going to play itself out during the course of the general election in the United States, but certainly in Wisconsin as we move into the recalls, which the dates will be set this week, today, of course.
In fact, we will talk about that next here on the Week in Review, talking with Kevin Hermaning and Christine Bremer-Moogley during this edition of the Week in Review. We are welcoming your input, and we are also welcoming your pledges of support on this, the last day of the Spring Pledge Drive. This is it. If you have been meaning to make a pledge, a financial contribution of any amount to Wisconsin Public Radio because you value this program and all of the programs you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio and you want to help pay for all of what you hear, make that contribution now of any amount to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. And chip in a little bit to help pay for the programming that serves the entire state of Wisconsin and beyond. Pay for the programs like the Week in Review, like John in Plymouth, who pledged and said, "Wisconsin Public Radio is my best source for news and political coverage. It's my companion on the road while driving." Thank you, John. Kathy from Wanakee pledged. She says, "Wisconsin Public Radio is great driving company." There we go again. Glad to keep you company in your cars. She says, "I appreciate the global and unbiased reporting." We appreciate your pledge for whatever the reason may be, and we welcome it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We have a goal of 70 pledges during this hour, the last hour for the Joy Cardine Show for this spring membership drive. So if you've been meaning to do it, please do it now. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Glad to have you with us on this Week in Review, where we have two guests from different viewpoints. Today it's Christine Bremer-Moogley and Kevin Hermaning talking with us about the top state and national news stories of the week. Talked about the GOP presidential primary coming up in Wisconsin and some new poll numbers out from Wisconsin Public Radio and St. Norbert College on that. We'll post those on our website. I know they're already posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you'd like to take a closer look at those poll numbers. Now let's talk about the Government Accountability Board. The GAB is going to be meeting today to firm up the dates, to finalize the dates of the recall elections. Yesterday it was announced that very few petition signatures on the petitions against Governor Walker and Lieutenant Governor Clayfish were actually thrown out because they were fake or, you know, Donald Duck type names, and that there were more than enough signatures to warrant the recall, to allow the recall, like 900,000 plus for against Governor Walker, 901,000 valid signatures. Looks like we have those recall dates, Christine.
Looks like we do. I thought it was interesting that after all that effort and with the decision of the Circuit Court in Waukesha, you know, instructing in a very judicial activist kind of way, in my opinion, instructing the GAB on what it should do and how it should review these petitions, we come up with five out of a million names that were false. So, you know, we spend a lot of time on that, and it turns out that this process that, you know, I agree with Secretary La Follette, who said it was a magnificent effort, and this process really did work, and the names were good. And of those struck, it appears that they were struck because the signatures were incomplete, according to the GAB. So it's really great to be coming to a close on this process. We worked hard, and now we're ready, and everybody's poised to get this election over with. I'm sure Kevin agrees with me. It's time to do it. Let's go.
I do agree, Kevin.
I do agree. It's time to get this thing over with. I think it's fallacy to believe that there were only five invalid ballots. We know people, I personally know people who did not sign the ballots, whose names were on the ballot four different, whose names were on the recall petitions four different times, and they were not signatories to it. So, but if that's the number that's certified as invalid, that's fine. I don't think that the governor was at all interested in dragging that process out. He wanted to get it over with. He wants really there to be a referendum on his policies of limited government, of getting the fiscal house in order of our state, and letting the business of government get back to the business of being out of the people's way. It'll be very interesting to see whether or not Kathleen Falk is going to have an opponent. I guess we'll know between now and Tuesday when Tom Barrett stands for re-election as mayor. And it will be a fascinating late spring, early summer, and an expensive one. And I think I personally believe that the voters are going to stick with the exact same people who they elected last time.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, Joy, that when we talk about money being spent, we know that Scott Walker has raised, you know, over $12 million so far in this recall. And on the other side, for instance, Tom Barrett hasn't even announced yet. There haven't been any ads up for Tom Barrett. And we know that by the numbers that Governor Walker has spent $10 million already advertising himself against the recall. And so when we look at those numbers and what he spent, and then you look at the polling numbers where it is within a lick of each other in terms of Barrett and Walker right now, it is amazing that the numbers are that close when nothing has been spent so far on the Democratic side, very, very little. So it'll be really interesting to see. And I can't imagine, Kevin, that the Republicans could possibly engage in the hypocrisy of saying that the Democrats are spending all the money when we know that Governor Walker's been all over the country getting money
from Texas
and California and New York. The day we sent in our recalls, he was in a fundraiser in New York City. So, you know,
what is the deal here? Christine, I hope you're going to be as consistent in a few minutes when we start talking about Donna Sedell facing Jerry Petruski. Jerry Petruski having no money in the bank and not getting his money at all from former Senator Pam Galloway, none whatsoever. And Donna Sedell already having a bankroll and being told by the unions that they would ensure that she has all the money she needs.
Well, I can tell you that's absolutely not true, Kevin. That is not true. When Donna started out this race, she had less than Representative Petruski. And I think it's very interesting when you say that Senator Galloway won't give him her money. Why not?
I can People already
gave it to
you,
her for this race. I can't imagine why she's holding on to her money. Doesn't she support
already,
him?
Well, just so you know, I think you already know the rules and how this works. Sure, her campaign committee can only give him $1,000, and she and her husband can only give him $1,000 for the campaign. The rest of the money has to go back to the donors for it to possibly even get back. And Jerry Petruski is not Pam Galloway. Jerry Petruski, I think, is a long-standing state representative with a great track record. And whether or not those dollars eventually come back to him, it's a very short period of time. And at this stage, there is very little effort being made to return those contributions.
Well, I don't see that Pam Galloway got out pretty quick sending little postcards to everyone that signed her recall petition to asking them if they'd verify it. I think she could get out pretty quick also if she wanted to get the money back to donors that thought she was going to run and she didn't. I don't think she should keep that money. She should get it back. Don't you think so, Kevin?
I think she should give it back with a note to instruct the people that if they're so inclined that they ought to give the money to Representative Petruski. That's exactly what I believe.
Yeah,
I can tell you that as of 6:30 yesterday morning, when I had about a half an hour phone conversation with Jerry, that was not at all the case nor the plan.
Well, we know that Senator Galloway had about $138,000 in the bank from large corporate interests and rich folks in town and people that were not necessarily supporting the things that Donna Seidel believes in, which is workers' rights, women's health, education, and no tax breaks for the wealthy. So, yeah, we would expect Donna not to have quite as much money as Senator Galloway when she started out.
Well, we have
because the unions are so poor.
Yeah, let me jump in because we did want you to both talk about this particular race. I think we just did, so we might not go back to it. But just to kind of wrap this up, in the recall of Pam Galloway, who now has resigned, this is likely going to be on May the 8th because there won't be a primary. So that's then the general. May the 8th will be the election, I think, date for that Senate district. So is this going to be Democrat Donna Seidel or Republican Donald Petrusky?
Jerry Petrusky.
Jerry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jerry.
You mean who's going to win?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, Donna's going to win. I mean, there's no question in my mind Donna's going to win. Jerry Petrusky is my representative. I live in Rib Mountain. And Jerry is my representative. And I can tell you that Jerry is a very nice man, and he's very popular, and people really like him. And one of the reasons they like him is when he comes to town, he talks like a Democrat, and when he goes back to Madison, he votes like a Republican. So if you look at his voting record, which I did this morning and I studied it, he has voted lockstep with the GOP nearly all the way through. I mean, he cannot walk away from this last legislative session, which I think Kevin would agree with me was the most divisive legislative session in Wisconsin history. He can't walk away from that saying that he was nonpartisan, because he was one of the most partisan. So when he's going to our district, which is a 50% district, we're 50-50, he cannot walk in and say this should not be about partisan politics, because that's all it was about for him.
Mm-hmm. Kevin.
Well, Jerry has never had a difficult time winning re-election. He's very popular, as Christine said. He's very well-liked. He is very visible. He's also a man of the people. Jerry Petrusky is a guy who gets out and shakes hands with the people at the implement dealers, walks into the union shops, spends a lot of time in the public schools, having raised a family in Marathon. And I watch with great interest how that swing district, the district of Representative Mary Williams, a Republican from Medford, how that district is going to vote in this upcoming recall election, because that's really where everything is going to be won or lost. I think it's pretty well understood that Wausau is going to go for Donna Seidel in a big way. Jerry Petrusky, I think, is going to win very big in his 86th Assembly District. And when you look at the 87th, I believe it is, up in Mary Williams District, it is a swing district. Mary's had a great opportunity many years in a row winning re-election, but now we have two people I think running in an area which is vast up in Rusk County, Ladysmith, Phillips area, Park Falls, and of course the Medford area. We're going to watch with great interest how Jerry performs, who is much better known up in that area than Donna Seidel. But Donna's money is going to play a big role in making this race extremely competitive.
Well, back to the I'm sorry, we okay. Really, because we're running so short on time.
All right, I just wanted to answer, but go ahead.
Very briefly then, Christine, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say up in the 87th, that's where the working people are. And Donna Seidel, if anything, has stood for the working people. And her votes and her legislative record is matched to anyone in this regard. And I think when people look at Jerry's record and try to come up with one thing that he's really fought for, you can't find it. But the working people up north in Medford and Taylor County and up in that area, those are people that I know, and those are people that are going to support someone that supports workers like Donna does.
Well, let's talk back to the recall for the governor. We didn't conclude our talk about that. Is Tom Barrett, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, did say that he would announce before the Tuesday primary or Tuesday election whether he was going to run or not. Do you think, Christine, he's going to enter this race?
I think we'll know within the next 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we'll know very shortly, and I think that he's very, very close to making that decision. And if he makes the decision, obviously we'll have a very lively primary debate among our party, and it will be welcome. If he makes the decision not to, we still are going to have a primary. It looks like if Mayor Barrett decides not to run, according to the polls, that Kathleen Falk has the clear advantage. If he decides to run, then there will be a clear debate between the two of them, and we'll see how the people in our party want to go with that. So we'll have a lively opportunity for discussion, and I think a good primary does us all good.
Yeah, and address to Kevin, the poll numbers that show that that Governor Walker, while he has a couple of points of a lead over Tom Barrett or Kathleen Falk, that's within the margin of error. It's pretty much tied.
Well, and, you know, you look at the election a few years ago in 2010, I think it's not a shock that the polling numbers are showing it being pretty much split even. You know, I haven't spoken to other Republicans about this. philosophically and personally, I would love to see Tom Barrett get in the race. I would love to see all of the money being spent between the two Democrats in a primary. I would love to watch Tom Barrett define Kathleen Falk as completely beholden to the teachers' union, because a lot of my union friends from the bowling leagues and from the golf leagues that I'm a part of and my softball teams, these guys are mad as can be at how the teachers' union as an organization, not the local teachers who have very little say in what goes on down in Madison, but how the teachers' union has really led to the collective bargaining changes that the Republicans sought and, of course, won in the legislative process and signed by the governor. And we know that Kathleen Falk is bought and paid for by one union only.
Well, that'll be last word on that topic, because we have to move on to some other topics as we are running short of time during this week in review. And speaking of bowling leagues, let me share the week in review quiz question for today. While campaigning this past weekend in Wisconsin, Rick Santorum went bowling. What feat did he achieve while bowling in Sheboygan? What bowling feat did he, Rick Santorum, achieve? 1-800-642-1234. If you think you know the answer, 1-800-642-1234. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. We will reveal the answer and the winner at the end of the program, and the winner will be entitled to a book that we featured recently on the program. And we will continue talking about the news of the week. I think we should move on to the health care issue with the U.S. Supreme Court hearing oral arguments in the case challenging the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act. That's coming up. Our Week in Review guest, Kevin Hermaning, political activist, former chair of the Marathon County Republican Party, and Christine Bremer-Moogley, attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau. She was a delegate to the 2008 Democratic National Convention.
Friday morning at 9 o'clock, we'll find out why we may be on the verge of providing abundance for every human being on the planet. And at 10 o'clock, simple, delicious recipes from the farm to get us inspired for the beginning of market season. I'm Veronica Rickert. Join me Friday morning starting at 9 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Public Radio is proud to sponsor Wisconsin Innovations, From the Iconic to the Unexpected, an ongoing exhibit at the Wisconsin Historical Museum in downtown Madison. Discover how Wisconsin ingenuity played a role in a remarkable array of inventions, from the typewriter to the modern surfboard. Visit WPR.org/Madison for more information and a chance to win tickets.
Many Wisconsin Public Radio programs are saved for later listening at WPR.org. So, when you want to hear a program again, or you'd just like to listen when you want to, visit WPR.org and click on Audio Archives.
This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, reminding you that this is the last day of the spring membership drive. Thank you so much if you've already pledged. Thanks if you have been a sustaining or ongoing contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio. But please do consider making that pledge right now to help us reach our goal during this hour, this week in review, during this pledge drive as well. We count on you to help pay the bills for the programming that you value. WPR.org, you can pledge online, or call 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. We have a goal of 70 pledges, and so far, well, thank you. We have 11 pledges so far, but I haven't been asking very much, so now I'm really asking. Let's go out with a bang, and let's reach this goal on this, the last day of the pledge drive. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. So let's talk about health care. The Supreme Court heard arguments for and against the president's health care law, the Affordable Care Act, for 3 days this week. Do you think, let's talk with Christine first. Is this going to be constitutional or what?
Well, there's two questions. Is it constitutional, or how will the court decide? Mm-hmm. We got to keep in mind that this is the court of Bush v. Gore, more or less. This is the Citizens United Court. And after hearing the questions that were put to the litigants in front of them, the appellant lawyers in front of them, it seems clear to me that some of the talking points that we hear on Fox were being reiterated by Justice Scalia. We heard the broccoli argument. We heard him complain about 2,700 pages. You know, we're hearing some of the same talking points in their questions. So it leads one to believe that this is going to be in jeopardy. One of the most interesting things I've read about this was an interview with Charles Fried, who was the Solicitor General under President Reagan. And he indicated that clearly it was his opinion, and he even filed a brief in this regard to the court, that the Obama administration and Congress clearly had the power to do what they did under the Affordable Health Care Act, and that, you know, the question really is a constitutional question. So although, Kevin, you're the brilliant financial guy, I have a little bit of an edge on you on the law side. But I would just say that one of the issues here is the power of Congress. And does Congress have the power to regulate commerce? And is health care commerce? And when you just follow this argument to its logical conclusion, as a good constitutional lawyer like Charles Fried does, he says, yes, Congress has the power to regulate commerce. Yes, health care is commerce because it is something that is sold among two people in the various states of our country. And is this bill a regulation of commerce? Absolutely it is. So if we look at the Commerce Clause and the power of the Congress to regulate commerce, yes, 95% of our population participate in health care. Does Congress have the right to regulate that? Absolutely. So is it constitutional? Well, really, really bright conservative lawyers and judges believe it is, and certainly the people on the administration and in Congress believed it is. So we have a difference of opinion, and I hope that that the court will find the way it should, in keeping with the principles espoused by the first justice of our Supreme Court, Chief Justice John Marshall, that yes, this is constitutional, and yes, Congress does have this power, and yes, this Affordable Health Care Act should be upheld.
Mm-hmm. Kevin.
Well, I'm not going to reiterate all of the talking points. I think that the plaintiffs in the case have done a pretty good job of that, and certainly the commentators on Fox and even the ones who appear from the conservative side on the other networks have done a pretty good job of that. You know, it is right that Congress does have the right to regulate commerce, but it doesn't have the right to compel people to purchase things against their will, because where does it end? Christine went into her litany about the Supreme Court of Bush v. Gore, ignoring the reality that two brilliant lawyers, although I completely disagree with their philosophies, have been put on the court by this president, Sotomayor and Elena Kagan. These folks have sat by and have attempted to articulate certain issues. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is the one who did most of the speaking in that area and didn't do a great job, I suspect, by most analysts. You know, and the Deputy Solicitor General Kniedler, you know, saying, making the argument about the mandate, the individual mandate, that if they wanted to have, if he urged the court to follow the conservative course of judicial restraint, and of course the moderate justice or the swing justice, if you will, on many important cases over the years, Justice Kennedy, you know, he's saying no, it would do just the opposite. And but I've heard many a speaker say that over the last several days that you cannot determine the actual ruling of a court based solely on the oral arguments. I think that there's a lot of panic already setting in on the left, and it's going to be very interesting to watch what the court does do, because even if they rule that the case is constitutional, and I philosophically do not believe it is, but I'm not a judge, I'm not an attorney, I'm certainly not a Supreme Court justice, Congress then still has the opportunity and the right to defund certain aspects of it, if not the entire thing.
Well, we are, unfortunately, we're out of time. So I wish we had more time. We have many more issues to go. But let me congratulate Bill in Milwaukee, who is the winner of the Week in Review quiz. What feat did Rick Santorum achieve when he went bowling in Sheboygan while campaigning this past week? He achieved a turkey, 3 strikes in a row. So apparently
hey,
he's a pretty
good joy.
Yes.
Joy, the president vowed in 2008 while he was running for office to tear down the White House bowling alley and replace it with a basketball court if he was elected. 4 years later, the lanes are still there and getting plenty of use, and it appears that it's yet one more pledge that the president made during campaign that he didn't fulfill.
Well, he just realized that it would be a major mistake to get rid of a bowling alley.
Oh, boy.
No, that's funny. Well, anyway, thank you both so much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
We really appreciate your time today and always on the Week in Review. Kevin Hermaning, political activist, former chair of the Marathon County Republican Party, and Christine Bremer-Moogley, attorney with Bremer and Trollope Law Offices in Wausau. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network, and we have a roving reporter wandering the hallways of Vilas Hall, and Gene Purcell is here with a very important update. Hi, Gene.
Good morning, Joy. It's great to be here, and yeah, I've just been sort of aimlessly wandering the halls here, but I do have a look at the big picture for the pledge drive. As all of you know, this is the last day of the pledge drive here for the spring membership drive at Wisconsin Public Radio, and we've got a big goal during the spring drive. Right now, this is sort of the bad news. We're pacing about 600 pledges behind where we need to be. Yes, mm-hmm. 600. And the pledge drive ends at 7 o'clock tonight. So what we need is folks to help us get back on track right now. That'll ensure we succeed in raising the money we need to bring you everything you love on Wisconsin Public Radio. Bowling updates, for example.
There we go.
Pledge right now, wpr.org or 888-202-2552.
All right. Thank you very much, Gene. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins. And Bill, 5 minutes to go in the pledge drive for the Joy Cardine Show for the spring membership drive.
5 minutes to go, and we are looking for 51 pledges to meet that goal this hour. So it's a lot of pledges, but it's certainly not impossible. If everyone who has not made a pledge yet picks up the phone right now, dials 888-202-2552, or even easier, just go to WPR.org. I know we can make those pledges. So 51 pledges here. We've got about 4 minutes left to go. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to Linda in Washburn, who did pledge. She says, I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio every day. Emily from Madison says, thanks for all you do. In-depth news coverage, especially local coverage, is more important now than ever. Well, we agree. Emily and Linda, thank you for your pledges. And we vow to continue in-depth coverage of state political issues, including the recall elections. We are planning candidate forums for the month of April. We will invite the candidates to talk with you on my show and on At Issue with Ben Maron. So we are here because you want us to be here. You get all the in-depth information you need to be an informed citizen voter. Is that worth a pledge? WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And you can pledge any amount. Any amount that you can afford is greatly appreciated. If you can give $10 a month or more as a thank you gift, 40 meals will be provided to those in need through Area Food Bank. So just choose Food for 40 as your thank you gift when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Can we just fill every single phone line possible with a pledge or go online at WPR.org in the next 2 minutes or so, so we can really end this spring membership drive with a bang, and let's try to make up for those 600 pledges that we are falling behind, according to Gene Purcell. Help us make up the difference, and let's pull ahead during this drive. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let's put our pledge staff to work hard this last day. So if you're one of those procrastinators and you haven't made your pledge yet, this is the last day to do it. This drive ends tonight, so this needs to be done now. So if you haven't, All it takes is just a couple of minutes. It's very simple. You give just some basic contact information and how you'd like to pay. Really, really easy. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We've got about 2 minutes left to go here, still looking for 51 pledges.
Your pledge is very important to Wisconsin Public Radio. We've mentioned it all week. You are the most important part of our budget. 40% of our budget comes from listener contributions. We would not be this service without your support. So make that support. Any amount is needed and welcome at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've enjoyed the week in review. You enjoy the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now make the decision to support Wisconsin Public Radio financially. Correlation is as simple as that, and pledging is very easy as well. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Do it because you love the Week in Review. Do it because you appreciate the State Capitol Report. Do it because you enjoy the fun things we talk about as well here on this show and all of the programs you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR.org
or 888-202-2552. Still looking for 47 pledges in this last minute. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for your support.